What will happen to a Christian who commits terrible sins, even though he's a believer? That's what we're going to discuss and explore in today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Very glad that you've decided to tune in. We're currently taking questions from listeners just like you. In fact, if you've got a question for Bob or Sean, you can reach us at faithalone.org, or you can send an email to radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's question and discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening into Grace in Focus again. We've been doing a bunch of Q&As, and the questions are so interesting, and you don't get to hear them asked in church, and you don't get to hear them asked in Sunday school.
That's exactly right, and I was just mentioning, initially we thought we could answer 4 or 5 questions every episode. And it's getting to the point where 1 or 2 is all we can do, because a lot of these questions require some analysis.
Right. Here's something I'd want to recommend to you. Listen to previous episodes. Go to iTunes and look up Grace in Focus. Keep on listening to this station and go to our website, faithalone.org, because the more you listen to these Q&As, I mean, really, it's a free theological education, just learning to think biblically about all of these issues. For example, here's a good question from Allah. Her middle name's Christina, so Allah Christina.
Okay.
She says, I believe in salvation as a free gift, but I'm actually surrounded by many people who believe in lordship salvation. Now, just to explain that term, lordship salvation is the idea that you can't just believe in Jesus for salvation. You have to submit to him. You have to commit your whole life to him to be saved. You have to show it in your behavior some
right.
way, somehow, to be saved.
Right.
If you have genuine faith in him.
Right.
And our position is you should absolutely commit your entire life to Jesus for your sanctification, but to be born again, all you need to do is believe in Jesus.
Exactly.
I would like to ask how I can explain to them that a person can make terrible sins after believing in Jesus and still go to heaven and will never get punished. Thank you very much for your help. All right. So I think there's something we need to clarify in this question.
Right.
Christina, Allah Christina says, you know, how can I explain to someone that they'll never get punished for their sins? Well, that's not our position.
No. Now, I think what she means is they'll never be eternally condemned.
Right.
And if that's what she means, she's absolutely right. Because John 3:16 says, shall not perish. And John 3:17 speaks of condemnation. The unbeliever is condemned, but the believer is never condemned. And so she's right. There's no eternal condemnation, but there is punishment. Both in this life and at the judgment seat of Christ, we reap what we sow. So there will be some shame at the judgment seat of Christ. There will be remorse at the judgment seat of Christ. 1 John 2:28 says that, and other verses
right.
say that. And so, yes, there are consequences. Remember Galatians 6:8, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap.
Right. There is discipline with God. It's not that God lets you get away with sin. Yes, you are eternally secure. Once saved, always saved. Everlasting life is everlasting. But if you start rebelling against him in this life, expect a spanking.
Right. You know, in Proverbs it says, he who spares the rod spoils the child and hates the child. It seems to me if a good parent is going to discipline their children in some way, whether it's a wooden spoon or whether it's time out or whatever, they are disciplining the child. They don't just leave them to raise themselves. Well, then God, as a good parent, must discipline us as well.
So to her question, you know, how can you explain to a lordship person that a person can sin terribly and yet still be saved, I guess, is really the fundamental question. How do you explain that to a person?
Okay, well, here's how a lordship person hears that.
Well, first of all, why don't they believe it? Now, she says, I think many people will not want to believe it because they think it would not be fair and that God would not be just.
Okay, that's two things. The third thing is, it sounds like God is promoting sin.
Let's kind of get into the mind of the person who just cannot believe in once saved, always saved. One thing they might say is, it's not fair.
Right.
That someone just believes in Jesus and they get everlasting life and everything else that they do has no impact on their eternal destiny. They're going to spend forever.
Right.
That's not fair, they would say.
I remember a time a pastor friend and I were talking to two ladies at the airport in Phoenix as we all were awaiting a flight. And the two ladies says, well, it's not fair for bad people to go to heaven.
Right.
we were saying, look, if a person believes in Jesus, then they're saved once and for all. And they said, no, that's not right. Because then bad people would go to heaven. And my pastor friend said, but we're all bad people.
Exactly.
He said, none of us is sinless. And then they go, yeah, but we're not as bad as other people.
Right. Well, see, that's so interesting because, well, here's why it's fair. One word or two words, the cross.
The cross is right.
It's fair because Jesus was punished for that.
Right.
It's fair because Jesus obeyed. He obeyed for you so that he could be qualified to be the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.
Absolutely right. And so then the only condition to have everlasting life is to believe in him. John 3:16, many other, John 5:24, etc. And so she's right. It's possible for a believer to be involved in a life that's not pleasing to God. What'd she call it? Serious sin or major sin. But that's not what God wants.
No.
And that's not what the Bible is calling us to. It's calling us to holiness and godliness. But the way to get there is not by threatening people with hell.
Right.
The way to get there is by telling them the promise of John 3:16, and when they believe it, they should have tremendous gratitude. Mm-hmm. A great motivation to serve God is because we're so grateful for the free gift of eternal life. But she can tell her lordship friends, are you grateful that you're sure you're going to heaven when you die? And they're going to say, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven when I die.
Right.
Well, then, so you're not grateful about that, are you? Oh, well, I am grateful that Jesus died on the cross, but you don't even know Jesus died on the cross for you, if they're a Calvinist. Or if they're Arminian, you'd say, okay, you're grateful for that, but if you fall away, where are you going to go? Well, I'm going to go to the lake of fire. Well, then you can't be grateful, can you?
Right.
You can be grateful for what you have so far, but you're on probation. And that's not what Jesus promises. He doesn't promise probation. He says, he who believes in me will never hunger and never thirst, never die, never perish.
Right. So I wonder if she could ask her friends, I mean, what is it about the cross of Christ that's not enough? What is it about the cross of Christ that is lacking so that you have to make up the difference with a life of good behavior to be saved?
That's right. And of course, if they come from a Calvinist perspective, they'll push back on that and say, well, these are the works of God, they're not my works, and they'll have lots of answers. But the bottom line is this. Some people in Lordship Salvation, if not many, have never believed the free gift of everlasting life.
Right.
They've always thought that they had to submit and commit and obey and persevere, and then eventually they'll get some final salvation down the road. If that's the case, then when she's talking to people who come from a lordship perspective, some of those people are not yet born again.
Right.
And she's actually evangelizing them. Mm-hmm. And if they come to believe it, they're going to be born again. So this is not just some academic exercise. The other problem is many of these people, of course, are people who at one point in the past believed the free gift and then later fell away and now are caught up in lordship salvation. But they're legalistic in their way they view the Christian life.
Right.
And so she can help them have a vibrant, joyful, grateful walk with Christ.
Right.
And so I'd say what she's doing is good stuff, and I'd just say keep it going. She's like AOC, except it's AC, right?
AKL.
Oh, it's K. Oh, okay.
Yeah, AKL, so that didn't work.
Well, it was, I thought, well, we've got somebody like AOC, but it's AC, but okay, AK.
So it's fair for believers who sin to go to heaven because, one, Jesus paid for their sin. Two, it's salvation is by faith apart from works, whether good or bad. Three, it's fair because actually you don't get away with your sin. You do get spanked in this life and you do reap what you sow. And so there are consequences, but they're not at the level of eternal salvation, you might say. And so it is fair. And it is just for God to just give us eternal life for free because of what Christ did, Well, that brings me to the second question here, and this is from Daniel.
Which is kind of related.
And it's related. Daniel has a question about King Saul. Now, we all know King Saul. He was the first king over Israel, big, tall, handsome guy that the people chose to be king. And there's a lot of probably not the best choice to be king. And this Daniel asks, what is our position on where King Saul stood with God? God was obviously not pleased with Saul in 1 Samuel 15 and rejected him as king. But did he also reject him as a man when he disobeyed and after giving King Saul a new heart? And he quotes 1 Samuel chapter 10, verses 6 to 9, and I'll just read a bit of it. It says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you." This is a prophecy to Saul. "And you will prophesy with them and be turned into a new man." So basically, was King Saul born again, is what he's asking.
And we have an article on our website from Zane Hodges, faithalone.org. People can look it up with the search engine. And he argues, yes, he cites that verse and says he was given a new heart. He was made a new man. Those are references to the new birth, to regeneration. And he actually preached with the prophets. So Saul was born again. And in personal conversation with Zane Hodges, he told me that he was unsure as to whether when Saul died, he was in fellowship with God or not. He had lots of flaws, but he appears to be a man who genuinely wanted to please God. And even though he took his own life, that was because the enemy was approaching and he didn't want them to torture him. And so it seems to me it's an open question as to whether he died in fellowship with God or not.
Right.
But as far as being a believer, I think that's pretty clear.
Right. So Saul's a great example of how a believer can really mess up their life.
I mean, he was throwing spears at David. He was chasing after David. But if God didn't spare him, he would have killed David. And so, yes, he had lots of problems.
So he might have been an example of someone who not only lost the kingdom in this life, but he might lose the kingdom in the next life, too, because of
in terms of ruling, he'll be in it. But as far as ruling in it, most people would say, don't even think he's a believer. But those who would agree he's a believer, most would say he won't rule. I'm ambiguous on that. I'm not certain. But yes, I think it's highly likely that he won't rule in the life to come.
Well, thanks for those answers, Bob. And keep sending them to us at radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org.
Thanks, Sean and Bob, for that great answer to a sometimes difficult question. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about where in Matthew, Mark, and Luke the saving message is found. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.